You do not know what you are asking. Good morning. I feel so good this morning. Really. Really. And I would like to thank you, Pastor Chris, Sharon, the worship committee, for the invitation to bring you today my preaching, the Word of God. And I would like to apologize because I don't bring my accent only the way I speak. Sometimes, and I found out recently that sometimes the way I express myself, sometimes there is some accent there. So, that's true, you know? And please, I want you to love me this morning. I know that we cannot love what or who we don't know yet. It's impossible. But I want you to love me today, right now, the same way I love you. And I'm pretty sure we will have time to know each other better. And as we grow in our knowledge about each other, our love will be even deeper. I truly believe that. That's the church. That's why I joined the church many years ago. And that's why I'm here today. I'm very practical. Very practical. So forgive me. Forgive me. And love me. Intensely love me. Because I love you intensely. I was cleaning my house the other day. My closet, my shed. And I was thinking to myself, my goodness, how many unnecessary things I brought into my life. Right? My goodness. And at the night, I was tired, still or already in bed. I was thinking to myself, oh boy, not only visible things, unnecessary things I brought into my life, but also invisible things, thoughts, impressions. And those thoughts and impressions truly built what I am today. And I was thinking about that. In my life at the church or in the church, I paid attention to much things, especially to what is accessory and not fundamental. I missed the point because I was so much involved with so much things, and I have to recognize and confess to you this morning that I made mistakes. I made mistakes. I should have paid attention to things, to fundamental things, to essential things. And what is essential as we read the Bible, as we understand church, as we define church, as we understand Christianism, the fundamental thing is love God with your heart, with your life, with your understanding, and in the same way, in the same level, love whoever is around you, your human fellow. Love. This is fundamental. The Bible doesn't only teach us about God, but also the Bible we learn about ourselves. Not only about God. Not only about Jesus. not only about the Holy Spirit, God, but about ourselves. And one thing that we learn about ourselves is that we are sinners. And sinners make mistakes all the time, a lot. Intentionally, not intentionally, we have this tendency to make mistakes. The Bible says so. And one big mistake that we, and that is also in the Bible, is that humans have these things about to know good and evil. The professor Guthrie, he defines sin. He says, sin is about the desire to know good and evil, to become God. And that's true. When we think that we know enough to define our lives and somebody else's life, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Who are more dangerous than people who are sure that they know both for themselves and for everyone else what is good and what's not good? These are words of Professor Guthrie, Schiller Guthrie, Presbyterian, a Christian like you and me. So if we are so susceptible to sin, if you are sinners, and if we have the tendency to switch God for ourselves, if we are commonly judgmental towards people, how do we know that we are in the right path? How do we know that our options are coherent with the plan of God to our lives? More specifically, how do we know we are talking the talk and walking the walk in terms of living, being practical about our faith? Because there is a discrepancy about what we say, about what we think, and how the way we live. So how do we know that we are living, being practical, showing the world what we believe? And this is the deal. This is the picture. Jesus and the disciples are going to Jerusalem. They are going to the Jerusalem from Judea. In the middle of the way, two of them, John and James, they approach Jesus. Master, I want you to see the picture. I sometimes laugh about this. Master, we have a favor to ask you. And Jesus says, okay, what's the favor? Give us power. We want to be powerful. We want to have position. In other words, we want you to put us, one at your right, one at your left, positions of power, the political view of that moment, when your kingdom comes. We want to be powerful. And Jesus, he says this. Jesus is God. God says so, says this. What are you talking about? Isn't it? What are you talking about? You have no idea what you're asking me. You have no idea. I laugh on it. Because it's true. It's true. Give us power because we are following you. Give us power because we are part of the church. Give us power because we believe that, I mean, your kingdom is a place where power should be displayed. Here, at this moment, I, Gerson Roca, I identify with John and James myself. Why? Because here, John and James are showing their background, showing who they are, and showing a clouded view about what is essential as they follow Jesus. They are missing the essential. They are missing the teachings of Jesus Christ. They are human beings. They are sinners living in a society with values of power and position. 2,000 years ago, very similar to our days here. A little bit of background. John and James are sons of Zebedee. We know they came from a well-to-do family because their father has employees. He has a business exploring the fishing industry. It's to imagine it that John and James would share the same lifestyle as their parents have and the sense of opportunity as well. There is no doubt that John and James are sincere. They are sincere. Not only them, but also the other 10 disciples. They are sincere in their desire to follow Jesus, but they are betrayed by who they are. And they ask for power, for position, because they are convinced that Jesus will soon become a magnificent, super-duper king. They don't go beyond this idea. They see what they were instructed by their background to see. That's what they think. They want a power because they see Jesus as a political king. John Calvin, not myself, he says that at this moment when they approach Jesus and ask for power, this is a narrative that contains a bright mirror of human vanity. It's true. How many people approach Jesus because they want power? They want light. How many people? So before their request, Jesus says, "You do not know what you're talking about. You do not know what you're asking." There is personal ambition on James and John's hands. And also, they missed the point, the essential point. And they formed a phantom in the air. I want to believe truly that whoever approaches God with a personal ambition for power and position, I believe that God would do something like this. What are you talking about? Truly, truly, I believe. And Jesus says, "Can you drink the cup? The same cup I drink? Or can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" Jesus corrects them. By cup, Jesus is saying, it's a metaphor. He says, there will be annoyances, afflictions as you follow me. And by baptism. Also, the force of the metaphor is clear. Jesus says, you have to renounce yourselves. This is what the kingdom is all about. There will be unpleasant moments. And in order to face this very well and do your job, you have to renounce yourself. And Jesus, he adds something that is so deep. He says, there are things, whatever goes beyond this point belongs to God. And only to God and to God, God's self. And so many characters in the Bible, Job, he would ask God about a lot of things, and God would respond in 42 questions. He didn't understand anything, Job. There are things that belong only to God. And the other disciples, they get mad at John and what's the name of the other brother? John and James. Because they want the same thing. They want the power. So they get mad at them. They are upset with them. Because they also want power. They also want position. And I truly believe that I am like that too. So I have to watch myself very well. Because I'm part of the church. I'm also a disciple. I'm a sinner. I'm a human being. So in order to make sure that everyone is in the same page, Jesus measured the differences between the values we see in the world and the values in the kingdom. Because he himself, Jesus Christ, God, who became flesh and came to this world, because he came to serve, that's our job. That's the disciples' job. That's our faith. That's what we are supposed to do. That's what we are supposed to do. To serve. To say, I don't have gold, I don't have silver, but I'm here. I'm here. I'm here, God, to serve the church. I'm here to serve my fellow humans. I'm here to serve. Among other aspects, the church understands itself as a community of disciples. We are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we have a very distinctive role in the world. We are holy people. We were called by God to serve God and to serve our fellow humans in the same level. It's impossible to serve God here and in the other hand, unserve somebody else. It's the same level. I'm not saying that. The Bible says so. We are a community of people who knows they are sinners. Freely admit that they are not good or superior, and take responsibility for their sinfulness. Take responsibility without blaming someone else. This is also words of the Professor Guthrie. Our role is to bring Jesus into this world, even by using words, if it's necessary. We have to display who Jesus is by showing the world, by actions, by attitudes, not only by words. And to perform this task of serving the church, serving Jesus Christ, serving our fellow human beings, there are some points that we should keep in mind as church and individually too. First, God is God, and that's it. Nothing less. God is God. And we know God in Jesus Christ. And God came into this world in Jesus Christ to die, to serve for me, to die for me, to serve me, to serve the church, to serve you, to die for you, to die for the whole humankind. God came to serve. And that's what we should keep in mind. Second, there are things that belong to God only. For example, the temperature of the hell or the furniture in the heavens, discussing things like that belongs to God. We don't know. We don't know. There are things that belong to God only. Another thing that belongs to God is the judgment of sins. God is the one who will judge the sins. He's judging the sins already. The church was not called to judge people's sins, inside and out. Nobody was called to do that. God. And following God, that's what we have to do. That authority was not given to us. How can we judge someone else if we are sinners ourselves? Third, we are a community of service. We serve God. We serve each other. And we serve the world. It's important to know that we meet with Jesus Christ and with each other only in our submission, in our position to serve, in our humbleness. It's important to understand that the way we perceive ourselves as church, individually too, this way that we perceive ourselves cannot be dictated by our different backgrounds or by our mission as a professional or whatever role the society has given to us. The way we perceive ourselves should be dictated by our mission as a group. We are sinners. We tend to commit mistakes. We hear many voices in life, but we follow just one, Jesus Christ. That's true. During the period of our lives, we collect, we store so many things, not only in the shed, in the closets, here too. So many things we collect. And those things do contribute to our understanding about ourselves. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we must be very aware of those influences and focus in what is really essential. We have to stick with the essential. And what is essential? What the Bible says about God, about ourselves, about people, and about our mission. And the Bible says this morning, our mission is to serve. We serve because we have put ourselves apart. We deny ourselves. And we should expect sometimes some afflictions and annoyances too. We live our faith as we serve the church. And the church is people. So, because we serve, or because we live our faith by serving, I have a simple question this morning to the church. What can I do for you? What can I do for for this church? What can I do for our presbytery? What can I do for the whole Presbyterian church? For the Church of Christ, what can I do? Let me know. Let me know. So it's fundamental that this morning we think about what is essential. And to perform our faith, to be practical, that is just one answer. Serve. Serve the church. In serving the church, you will be displaying the face of Jesus Christ to this world. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. Amen.